Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, it's a great thing. And I think what you said, one of the things you said right there that stood out to me the most is a conversation that we've had over and over and over again is you use the line that with this mid-range game, with these 2 points, it feels sustainable. If mm-hmm. the Sacramento Kings, who I think have won 4 of the last 5 or 5 of the last 6, something like that, like if they're shooting 60%, 55% from 3, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. that number is going to come down at some point. But with the way that they're, like, DeMar is doing what DeMar does, De'Aaron is doing what he's been able to establish he's good at, then you got Domas around the basket, all of a sudden you're starting to rack up these 2-point field goals, and it's like, yeah, this is bad. This is absolutely sustainable.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I had a question for you was, is there an individual who's playing at an unsustainable kind of rate? Like, is anyone performing so well that you see that coming down?
Not in my opinion.
I couldn't think of anyone either.
I mean, DeMar has done this his whole freaking career. And mm-hmm. I get, you know, I mean, age is a funny thing. And I think maybe LeBron has kind of redefined how we look at age in the NBA. Like, he's approaching 40. He scored 39 points the other day. He's going to turn 40 next month. And he scored 39 points the other night with a near triple-double. Kevin Durant is 36 years old. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 28 points per game. DeMar DeRozan is 36 years old. He has been doing this his entire career. He's at 25.6 points. There's nothing he's doing where I like, nah, he's going to come back down to earth. Like when Kevin Huerter was shooting like 58% from 3.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, nah, he's not going to be able to do that.
20 or 30 games.
And I'm like, why not? Why can't he keep doing it? Well, he couldn't, and they were right, but still, like it wasn't sustainable. More than anything, Will, I think De'Aaron could get even better. Like, I actually think De'Aaron offensively could get a lot better, and I think he will. And I think Malik could get better.
Yep.
Like, I don't think any of this stuff is falling off, and Kevin Huerter is literally in the perfect spot.
Yep.
We asked all offseason, can you be something between 1 and something between 2, and that is exactly where he is. Year 1, year 2, he is best year of his career, worst year of his career. He's right in the middle of that right now.
He looks so good in this role where, like, he's getting a good amount of shots. Could probably be higher, but he just is doing everything that he's being asked, and I think he's doing everything well. I agree. Monk has had probably the weirdest start to the season.
Yeah.
I don't think, not the worst. I think Trey's probably had the worst start to the season.
Right.
But kind of two different things, worse and weird. So I'll be interested to see kind of how Monk, another 10 games or so, if things start to click. I think James is right on. He always says how Monk doesn't have a lob threat. I really want to see Orlando Robinson on this team and just see if he can be that, like, hyper-athletic big that this team hasn't had since Metu. And Metu was really good in that role. Like, he had his faults, but he was a very productive player. So Kings haven't been able to really fill that void since he left. So I think Robinson might be a key to unlocking Monk a bit. Or we just see good old Alex Len keep going out and doing his thing.
Yeah. Yeah, old reliable Alex Len.
Yeah.
Who comes in for the guy who I think, I mean, DeMar has been phenomenal. No question about it. But Domas, to me, has been spectacular this season. And if you ask me to name the best player on the Sacramento Kings right now today, I think it's Domantas Sabonis, at least through the first, you know, eight games of this season. I think it's Domantas Sabonis. And you put some numbers up, Will, that he has been not just spectacular in 48-minute outings, but he's taken a page out of De'Aaron and DeMar's book, and he's been really good in the clutch.
Yeah, which is something I don't think he gets credit for, because DeRozan and Fox are like the two clutch players, not only on the team, but in the NBA. They're in the upper echelon for that category and that attention. But if you look at Sabonis in clutch time, he's 7 of 8 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. He's only taken 2 free throws. He's made 1 of 2. But 6 offensive rebounds, which we saw the importance of one of them on the tip-in and the putback. And just getting offensive rebounds in the clutch is such a great luxury to have, where every possession matters even more in those situations because of the close game and the time. 11 total rebounds, only one turnover. Like, he is just, he's stepping up his game even more when the game is on the line, which is hard to do because he's already playing so well to begin with. I've had concerns in the past about him down the stretches of games, because I think it's just hard to run an offense through a center in late game situations. Having Fox and DeRozan and even Monk out there opens up the court so much more, where you can get it down to Domas, or if he's comfortable taking those shots on the perimeter, it's just a little bit easier for him to operate compared to having to force it down to him and getting a double team and there not being time to kind of operate the offense as they normally would.
He did you recognize he had had a one of one game the other night?
I wasn't watching that game super close at the time. That was Hannah's birthday, so we went out to dinner and we're just kind of hanging out. So I did not. I'm bummed because I love looking for stats like that. I always try and beat, especially like the big NBA accounts.
Yeah.
There's nothing better when they,
which you almost always do.
Yeah. Hannah, don't apologize. She said she's sorry. Don't apologize.
Sorry, I had my birthday.
Yeah. So
we love you, Hannah. You're good.
Yeah. But yeah, it's so impressive, the efficiency for him, 63% from the field when he's taking multiple threes, 2 threes per game. Like, if you go down the list of field goal percentage, no one else that's around his percentage is taking more than, I think, in the top 11 players for field goal percentage. Giannis was the only one that averaged more than 0 threes, so was taking threes, and that was 0.4. So his efficiency on the type of shots he's taking is so impressive. And again, he is taking less field goals than last year, but scoring more points. And that is what is going to make this Kings offense great with DeRozan, because there's not the field goals to go around.
You posted your Z for Nerds for the Kings Clippers tonight. You said floater area will be key in your breakdown. You got a couple of breakdowns. We talked about some of this stuff earlier. Clippers top ranked defense that the Kings have faced. Another interesting note: Kings fifth most steals, Clippers second most turnovers. Like that. But you
perfect
wrote
match.
I love that. Yeah, it's perfect. You wrote floater area will be key. How so?
Yeah, so I made that the swing stat, which is back again. I'm doing swing stat articles every game. So the floater area, the Kings take 18.9 field goal attempts there per game. That's seventh most. Clippers are at 21. That's fourth most, and they both shoot it really well. Kings are at 51%. That's the second highest in the league, and Clippers are at 47.6%. That's seventh. So just an area where both teams kind of excel. And against a defense that's really strong, Clippers really, I was shocked to look at some of their defensive numbers. So you have to look for weaknesses in areas where you can kind of take advantage. They do well defending that spot. So for me, it's more of, can the Kings defend the spot? Where the Kings, because they're focusing more on keeping opponents out of the restricted area, they're allowing the 20.6 shots in that floater area. So it's a spot where the Clippers really like to operate. Norman Powell's shooting 64% in the floater area, which is a great number for that spot. Zubac, Harden, they all kind of operate in that zone. So can the Kings take a strength of the Clippers and turn it into an advantage for themselves?
Mm. Okay.
And I am tracking, I thought about it early, I'm tracking the swing stat this year. So I missed the first few games, but so far I am 3-2 on the swing stat, matching the output of the game.
Okay.
And one of them was so close. It was points off turnovers against the Hawks, and the Kings lost it 18-20, and they won the game. So I was like, oh, it's so close.
That last garbage time turnover. Mm-hmm. Let's mention again, Bike Dog Brewing, East Sacramento, 1210 66th Street. This Sunday, Will Z is going to be having a watch party out there for the Kings and the Suns. So you're watching Kings basketball anyways, go watch it with Will Z. Bike Dog Brewing, Will Z at SI. I know everyone is following you by now, but if you're not, make sure you're following our man on Twitter. Great second screen during the games. Will, I appreciate you as always, my friend.
Thanks, Damien. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. That's our man, Will Z, right there. He'll be out again, Bike Dog Brewing, this Sunday. Go check him out. Man, I don't think I realized. I knew they were good, but I don't think I realized that the Clippers had the fifth-ranked defense. Like, and that's what we talk about being well-coached. Like, you think, well, Paul George isn't there. Kawhi Leonard's not there. Obviously, those are two top-tier defenders. One of the big things that comes with defense, I think, is a coach that instills it in their entire team. Kawhi is a great defender. Paul George is a great defender. You've got to surround them with guys who understand defense. Lawrence Frank, Ty Lue, they've done a terrific job at that. That's why they always were able to maintain when Kawhi was out or when Paul George was out. Now they've got to maintain with both of them out. Said at the beginning of the season, I've got this feeling Kawhi's not playing until December. And so far, everything about that tracks. I don't even know when the last time we got an update on Kawhi Leonard was.
I think the last update was just no update. He's still out. Like, he's just not close yet.
Yeah, it's basically he's out. Stop asking.
Yep.
And then again, is not to criticize Kawhi. I wouldn't do that. I like Kawhi Leonard, but it's more to praise Ty Lue and his coaching staff for even. This is a team with James Harden on it. You've got them to buy into the defensive stuff. You've got them to play defense at a high level. They lack at skill positions. They do not have a sexy team, but they have a team that works.
You think they're a good basketball team right now?
I don't think they're a bad basketball team.
I was talking to the insiders this morning about it. I said they're competitive, but I wouldn't even necessarily call them good. Like, they're...
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The team that I think the Kings should be.
I feel like the Kings... I feel like they're better than the Kings. Or I feel like the Kings are better than them. They're a 500 basketball team right now. I think that's about what they might be, which, given the circumstances, I actually don't think that's bad. I don't know ultimately what they're going to compete for. I don't even know how long the rate at which they're playing can be sustained. But they have guys that are playing well. James Harden, I don't think, is doing anything stupid right now. Yeah, they could be all right. Like this, I want to see the Sacramento Kings win this game, but I think this is going to be a tough. This is going to be a little bit more of a fist fight, I think, than some people are willing to give it credit for. We'll come back. James Hamm's going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll continue to talk basketball. We'll take a look around the league. We'll take a little bit of we'll take a little peek at Week 10 of the NFL season as well when Dylan McCasey returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Sky River Casino, please make your plans to be with us this Monday, Veterans Day. That's right. You ain't going to miss us covering Sacramento Kings basketball. You ain't going to miss us covering the San Francisco 49ers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Man, we will be here on Monday working for you. We will be live at 32 Brew Street inside Sky River Casino, 10 a.m. with the Insiders, 12 p.m. with D'Lo and KC, 5 p.m. we'll watch the Sacramento Kings take on the San Antonio Spurs. If you do plan on coming, please bring some canned food, some non-perishable food with you. We're kicking off our holiday food drive for the Elk Grove Food Bank. So if you can make it, we'd love to see you out there. And if you can bring some canned food with you, that would be dope. If you are coming through and you have D'Lo and KC gear, wear it. We got to impress the important people. They're pulling up on us for the first time. They want to see what this live show is all about. So we got to show out for them. We got an announcement to make about our next live show in the first hour. Matt George is going to be with us as well as we get ready for King Spurs. So that's going to be Monday at Sky River Casino. Big thanks to Will Z for spending some time with us. Big thanks to Jay Farrow, who was with us the last hour as well. He's going to be at the Punchline Comedy Club beginning tonight and running through tomorrow. If you're looking for something to do that doesn't involve the Sacramento Kings, go check out my man Jay Farrow. Very, very, very funny dude. A couple of things before we get back to basketball. A couple of NFL, a handful of NFL storylines to watch that venture outside of the San Francisco 49ers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. By the way, I think I saw something while Will was talking that Christian McCaffrey officially listed as questionable. So Kyle Shanahan didn't say that he's good to go today, but he is listed as questionable. All signs are pointing to Christian McCaffrey playing his first game this season for the San Francisco 49ers this Sunday. NFL-wise, last night was a good one. Both teams had to have it. The Baltimore Ravens went and got it. I love the play. I love the call by Zach Taylor at the end of that game to go for two, try to get the victory. Lamar had been destroying you for the entire fourth quarter. You have a chance to win on the road on a Thursday night. You take it. They didn't get it, but that's all right. I thought that was the right call. I'm not going to judge the call. In hindsight, I'm not going to judge the call based on the result. I'm going to judge the call in the moment, and I think Zach Taylor made the right call to go for two at the end of that game. It's not his fault. Whether the play is completed, whether the two-point conversion is converted or not, no flag was thrown on either of those. It was still the right call. Still the right call. This sets up a fantastic game next week where it's the Ravens and the Steelers for first place. First place in the AFC North, man, and that is a fist fight between our AFC South. Yeah.
North.
What's your division? AFC East.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. Well, okay.
Well, come on.
Look, I'm rooting for you guys, but...
That's fine. We need, like, the extras.
All right. You're
right. It's for the AFC South.
That's fair. That's fair. It's absolutely for the AFC South. They're one of the storylines this weekend, as a matter of fact. But that sets up a fantastic one next week with the Ravens and the Steelers. It's not just Christian McCaffrey who returns to the football field. It's Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. Saw that this morning and was like, wow, does that matter at all? CeeDee's not even healthy. They're talking about CeeDee Lamb getting out there. He's going to return. Oh, he still feels some pain in his discomfort. What is he doing then? Your quarterback isn't even out there. You're going to go out there and catch passes for, what's his name, Cooper Rush?
Yep.
Come on, man. CeeDee out there risking getting hurt.
Jerry Jones just doesn't have a clue, man.
He doesn't.
I feel like he's running this team more than ever.
And CeeDee, well, of course he is. His coach only has a job for 8 more weeks. And CeeDee's still playing for a contract. Like, CeeDee hasn't signed yet, right? Or did he?
I think he did right before the season started.
What was CeeDee's numbers? Was he $35 million? Was he the one who matched Justin Jefferson? CeeDee, 136.
$34 million per.
4 years, 34. Yeah. Oh, okay. He was below. All right. All right, CeeDee. CeeDee out there playing hurt for Cooper Rush and a terrible football team. Micah Parsons getting out there. Like, I don't even know what a turnaround for the Dallas Cowboys looks like.
It doesn't. That's just all it is. They're done.
They're 3-5.
Philly's playing good football right now.
The Commanders are playing good football. Like, you can't catch up in that division. Like, what are you doing?
Well, because you're going to lose games with Cooper Rush, too. That's just unless some miracle they go undefeated while Dak is out. But I highly doubt that's going
to
happen given
they can have to beat
games with Dak.
They'd have to beat Philadelphia. They'd have to beat Philadelphia, Houston, and Washington to do that.
Yeah, no thanks.
In New York. And I just saw Schefter tweet. I thought this was already a thing. But I guess Dak just went to injured reserve. I thought they put him on injured reserve days ago.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. All right, man. They got the Bengals after that, Panthers, Bucks. They still got two left with Philly and two left with the Commanders. That's brutal. That's brutal. They can't. They got nothing. But they're going to march Micah Parsons out there and CeeDee Lamb, who's already... If Micah Parsons is ready to play, that's cool. Let him play. Nothing wrong with that. CeeDee Lamb out there playing hurt, which is absolutely goofy. Chicago Bears need to get a victory. They need to take advantage of the Patriots and get back on track. Like their season might be, I don't want to say their season is on the line, but maybe not too far off. And speaking of, it's a huge week for the Texans. My Texans. They need to elevate a little bit.
I'm not sure they're Super Bowl contenders.
I don't think.
Might be a year too early with them. Which is fair, because CJ Stroud's in his second year and all that. Not that it's saying that he's bad, but it's just
that
you got to develop and all that, the whole team. Doesn't help when Nico Collins has been out for a few weeks.
That's the killer.
He's back to practice this week.
Yeah, his practice window was open, but that doesn't ready him for the Lions.
Diggs towards ACL.
It's not that different than the Bucks, right? You lost your two top targets, and they got the Lions. That's the tough part. That's why I say they got to elevate a little bit, and it's just difficult. As Jesse laid out, it's difficult. Nico's not going to be back for this Lions game. Stephon isn't going to be back at all. And while I think the connection between CJ and Nico, that works, obviously losing Stephon Diggs is tough. I don't want to minimize that. But it's a tough game to elevate. You need a victory. And Jesse, you might be right. They might not be Super Bowl contenders. The AFC may come down to the Kansas City Chiefs, those teams in the AFC North, and the Buffalo Bills. That might be what we're talking about here. The Texans just might not be there. However, if the Texans are able to get a win at home, I think that's the elevation we're talking about. That's the step up that we're talking about. And I don't know if the Detroit's going to run the table or what they're going to do. They're obviously playing well, but I still believe in Houston. I don't think I believe in them as a Super Bowl contender, but I still believe in them to make some noise, get to the playoffs, finish strong. I expect them to be better. Those are the things I'm watching for
Detroit
in Week 10.
Might, this is a take. They might steamroll through the NFC in the playoffs.
That is a take.
I think they're looking for a dance partner right now.
Man, you are really high on them.
I think that, but also kind of low on everyone else.
Let's look at this real quick. Their one loss was to my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was 20-16. Bucks won. They beat the Rams by 6. They beat the Cardinals by 7.
I'll say, too, that game against the Bucks, I remember watching. They had multiple opportunities to go down the field and win it at the end. They just couldn't convert.
Beat the Seahawks by 13. Just super kicked the Cowboys. Beat Minnesota by 3. Embarrassed the Tennessee Titans. And beat the Packers by 10. They got what I think is a tough matchup against Houston coming up on Sunday. Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Chicago, Green Bay after that. And then they'll have Buffalo and San Francisco on the schedule as well. I don't know what Minnesota is going to look like in Week 18, but that's their closeout game. I can't get on board with that one.
Why not?
I can't get on board with a steamroll.
Like I said, it's a take. I could be wrong. I wasn't even sure if I wanted to share that. But it's just maybe the 49ers with CMC look a lot different. And I could see that happening. But right now, I'm just going off of what I've seen in the NFC. It's like the Packers feel like they're just knocking on the door, but they can't get through yet. The Bucks did have something. Then everyone's hurt. Like I just mentioned, the Niners. Philly, maybe. Maybe Philly can be that team. Washington, I like them, but they're young.
Okay. I'm looking at the teams right now in the playoff picture, and I'm struggling to come up with one. The Commanders are interesting. I agree with you that the Commanders are young. Obviously, Jaden is young.
Just figure how not discrediting them, but how much longer can this run go for them?
No, I'm actually going to vomit that Philadelphia might be the...
It might be, honestly.
Well, that's gross, man. That's just gross. Ugh. We'll see if San Francisco to get it together. I can get it together. That's obviously their, I think that's their biggest challenger. We'll see how these teams close out. I mean, Atlanta is 6-3. How do they close out the season?
I'm not buying that. That's back to like
Minnesota's still 6-2. They are. I don't know. Just stating the facts. That's what I do. Broadcast journalist. Just stating the facts. It's not the most compelling Week 10, though, to be honest with you. There's a couple, and we reference them. But I don't think I'm not. Yeah, I might be more red zone than split screen, or might just be split screen with the 49ers. And let's see, what time we got Steelers and Commanders. Oh, yeah, going to have to watch that one. Going to have to watch Steelers and Commanders. That's really all in the opening window. I mean, some people might be compelled by the Bills and the Bucks. Not too sure about that one, but the 49ers, or not the Bills and the Bucks, the Bills and the Colts, I'm sorry. The 49ers and Bucks, the Steelers and the Commanders are in the 10 o'clock window.
Steelers-Commanders feels like a Russell Wilson statement game.
I'm with that.
Played well the first couple weeks since he's been back and all that, but it's like, all right, are you legit, or is it just kind of, what was that?
I know I'm a Cardinals fan this weekend. Cardinals and the Jets. Let's go, Kyler. Let's get it done, baby. Let's get it done. Oh, back to the NBA. Obviously, we're preparing for the Kings-Clippers tonight. James Hamm will be with us at the top of the hour. But the Kings got the Suns on Sunday. And of all of the teams that are off, even more so... Because I don't think what... I guess the Suns and the Warriors are the two teams that surprised me the most. I don't think Cleveland... I mean, Cleveland being like 9-0, it's the O that's surprising. If Cleveland was 8-1, it's not stunning to me. Like, Cleveland's a good... Yo, Cleveland cooks. Like, that's a good team. Boston 7-2, like, that's easy work. The two teams with really good records that I'm surprised by are Phoenix and Golden State. Golden State, because I didn't think they'd be able to play this way. I thought the days of them playing as a cohesive unit on the defensive end were long over. I thought the days of them being a collectively being a nonstop threat behind the arc was over, and it's not. And Buddy is a big reason why. Buddy has played really, really well for the Golden State Warriors. But the team I think I'm surprised the most with is Phoenix, which is a bit weird, I understand, because they're loaded with top-end talent in Brad, Book, and KD. But they were loaded with top-end talent last year. And it really kind of, it's like, what is different for them now that was last year?
Is it literally just a matter of having a point guard finally?
That could absolutely be a part of it. Remember, if memory serves, Brad wasn't healthy at the beginning of last year either. And we said this before anyone got hurt. We said this to start the season, and I still believe it's true. I think it's difficult to integrate guys like this onto a team and tell them to just go out there and win right away. I do think it takes time for stars the caliber of Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant to gel together. I said the same thing about Philadelphia, and I think when Joel Embiid comes back and Joel and Paul George are playing together, now they've lost Tyrese Maxey for a handful of weeks with a hamstring injury. Like, they feel like the Philadelphia 76ers feel like a worse version of the Harden, Kyrie, KD, Brooklyn Nets that never really got on the floor together. Those guys, it felt like, literally never got on the floor together. The Philadelphia 76ers, they just can't seem to get on the floor together. Obviously, Joe's going to return on, I think it's Monday versus the Knicks. And great, he's going to return with Paul George, which is cool, but Tyrese Maxey is out. So now you're waiting a few weeks for Tyrese Maxey to return. Well, what state are those other two in by the time Tyrese Maxey is back? It's exactly what happened with Brooklyn. And you can argue whether, I mean, in the end, Brooklyn was a failure. That version of the Brooklyn Nets was a failure. They were Kevin Durant shoe size away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals. I get that, but in the end, they didn't. This Phoenix Suns team is kind of gelling together. Jesse mentioned it. They got a point guard now, which they were trying to run Brad at the point guard last year. They were running him out of position. Yusuf Nurkic has been really good for them. Like, they have guys that seem to be bought in and all in on this squad, this collective. But I mentioned this to Will Z. KD, 36 years old, is averaging 28 points per game, 27.8 to be exact. I really do think we forget sometimes how great Kevin Durant is, and I don't know if it's all of the, I don't know if it's the social media stuff, the interview stuff, I don't know if it's the sound bites, I don't know if it's the fact that he's changed teams, I don't know if it's the fact that he joined the Golden State Warriors once, and people will forever be mad about that. I don't know what it is. But Kevin Durant remains one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen. Kevin Durant is still playing today at 36 years old like one of the best basketball players in the entire league. Now he's doing it because I think last year when he was scoring a bunch of points, him and Book were both top 10 in scoring last year. It's like, well, they're on a bad basketball team. Or maybe not a bad basketball team. They're on a basketball team that wasn't as good as we thought they would be. And we always talk about the enemy of perception. What you perceived this team would be headed into the year. Everybody told us how good Phoenix was going to be. We sat here and said, hang on, I don't buy it. Then when they kind of leveled things out, got things going, wound up becoming the top, it was like, yeah, but they weren't as good as we thought. We thought they'd be where Oklahoma City was. We thought they'd be where Minnesota was. Now that's exactly where they are. And it makes ignoring what Kevin Durant is doing virtually impossible. 28-7-3.
What does a ring do for him this year?
A ring?
His legacy, yes, a ring.
Well, it shuts...
Everyone's been discrediting him for years now. After. Like, the Warriors ones, honestly, if you look at it, they don't even count the way people talk about him.
Which is insane. He was the best player on that team. If he wins a ring with the Phoenix Suns, with, like, he is the leading guy. He's the guy who plays the most minutes. He's the guy who scores the most points. He's to me, Kevin Durant is undeniable. He wins a ring this year. To Kevin Durant's haters, he's undeniable. I don't know how you make any sort of argument against Kevin Durant if he wins a ring with this Phoenix Suns team, with the minutes and points that with the minutes that he's playing and the points that he's scoring.
Well, besides LeBron, too, who besides LeBron and Jordan, I guess I don't know how old he was at the time, but who else is taking their team at this age, like that far?
Oh man, at 36,
yeah, been the guy.
There's probably not many. I mean, Steph was, what, 32, 33?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there can't be many, man. That's crazy. I didn't even think of that. I don't know that there are any.
That'll completely flip his legacy, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. It completely... Well, yeah.
It shouldn't. No, I think he's top 10 all time already, yeah, and stuff like that. But I think if he were to get a ring this year and kind of be the guy, like people be talking like, as if he's maybe top 5, top 7, whatever.
Maybe it ends the Warriors conversation, like the diminishing of his rings with the Warriors, and now it's just acknowledged as the guy's won 3 championships in the league, and it's no longer, well, the guy won 2 rings with the Golden State Warriors or the guy won 2 rings with Steph Curry. I don't know. The dialogue around KD, I always find to be weird. He is so good, and still, at this time in his career, so good. And I really think, as we were talking about LeBron turning 40 next month, scoring 39 the other night when J.J. Redick was mad at everybody else, you got Kevin Durant doing what he's doing at the age of 36 years old, scoring 28 points per game. And then right here in Sacramento with the Golden One Center tonight, you're going to see DeMar DeRozan, 36 years old, averaging, what was it, like 25, 26 points per game. Maybe it's rarefied air. Maybe it's the maybe age is being redefined in the NBA. I'm not really sure. But KD has dealt with a multitude of like serious injuries, and he's here doing what he's doing. LeBron James has managed to stay, for the most part, healthy, avoiding any catastrophic injuries for his 22-year career.
I don't know how, but it feels like he's picked it up a bit this season, too.
That performance he put on the other night was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like, to just, like, know that it's him, that it's just him, and he's got to go out there and he's got to put up 39 points and he's got to do all that, and he's got to be the guy to get in Ja's face, and he's got to be the guy to push the envelope a little bit. That was an incredible performance from LeBron, regardless of how old he is. But I do think age has to be looked at differently. One of the jokes around Sacramento, or I shouldn't say around Sacramento, one of the jokes about Sacramento back in July was that they signed some old man who's going to be on the downturn at some point. It's probably going to be this year in Sacramento. Meanwhile, he's playing as well as he's ever played. He's got to be one of the most consistent players in the entire league, like over the span of a decade. My man Drew Down, who's changed his screen name to Drew Buddy, says, D'Lo, who is winning Sixth Man of the Year, and why is it Buddy Hield? Bruh, I'm not going to argue with you. Give credit where credit is due. Buddy's playing fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. He's averaging like 20-something points per game, 21 points per game.
I think it was like 21.5 on the Celtics game I saw.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. My man Manny. Manny, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, what's up, D-Lo? You know what's funny is that when KD left Oklahoma City, because they had just played – Golden State in that round, and he went to Golden State. One of the first guys I was like, oh, that's whack. Out of all places you go to the team that beat you. But over a period of time, and watching this dude play and just having an appreciation for what he brings to the game, I've got nothing for love for the dude to do what he's doing for such a long time. And then beyond that, like, usually guys that are that slender, like, and that tall, usually there's back issues that arise, and he really hasn't had, like, that type of medical issues. It was more of the Achilles or the other stuff that he hurt. But how can you be I understand there's always, you know, you love this team or you love that team, but as just a basketball fan, how can you watch this dude play and not be in awe at times of how consistent he's been and how deadly he's been for so long and so clutch? And to watch cats, like, they hold on to stuff for, like, so many years, just so many years on players where that player will continuously show them wrong, but because they're just stuck with blinders on, it's no matter what, it goes back to something that happened 10 years ago, 8 years ago. Well, let's look at what he's done as a whole, because at the end of the day, whenever this dude leaves and they start showing his highlights and everything he's done, he is by far, without a doubt, a top 10 player ever. And how many guys have been able to do what he's been able to do in his, like, just in his frame and everything? Like,
oh man,
one of one.
Man, the podcast host got cut. Oh, Jesse said, get to the point, Manny. No, I hear you, Manny. He is, like, every time I watch the Suns and I look up and see KD, it's like, man, he is such a unique. He's such a unique player. His size, his agility, like, his ability to shoot the way that he can. I think it's KD who has the joke, like, he refuses to call himself a 7-footer, like, he's 6'11". He's, and I think the answer to your question, Manny, is why people act the way that they do. It's because they don't get enough sleep at night. What they need to do is they need to take advantage of the Black Friday savings that are going on over at Matthews Mattress. You can save up to $1,000 off of select Beautyrest Black adjustable mattress sets. Those are my favorites. Those are the ones I always focus on. I love the Beautyrest Black. It is insanely comfortable. They got a Beautyrest Harmony Queen mattress right now for just $498. That's nearly half off. They've got tons of perks for going in there and getting your mattress right now, because all of November is now Black Friday. Get 60-month special financing with no money down on approved credit with equal monthly payments required. See store for details. You could buy a mattress today by 5 o'clock. You could be sleeping in it tonight by 9 o'clock, or whenever you choose to go to bed, because if that mattress is in stock, they got free same day delivery. Find the store nearest you, one of the 9 locations, by heading over to MatthewsMattress.com. Again, MatthewsMattress.com, and you can find one of the 9 locations near you. We'll come back. James Hamm will join us. We'll talk Kings basketball here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Wait a minute. Did you just say the Macho Man was overrated?
I'd said I might agree, but wow. I know, that's why I got it off the screen fast as I did.
Yeah, that's a lot of hate right there. I don't think the Macho Man, and certainly not the most overrated of all time.
He's fine. Graduation ass theme song.
Yeah, he did have a graduation theme song for sure. Who did you say was there? Titus. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Titus, what's up, baby?
Hey, what's going on with y'all, man?
Ain't nothing, baby. What's going on with you?
Nothing much. I was going to speak on something, too, about I was at the Toronto game, and it's like I've been noticing, though, even from the preseason games, too, like Mike Brown, he don't like to use the timeouts. And then my second thing was this. It's like at that Toronto game, the crowd wasn't really like getting into it. And then I seen that Mitchell was going on one, because I had a little bet, right? And I had to get the crowd to start booing. Once he had about 8 points, he ended up scoring like 20. Mm-hmm. I had to get the crowd to boo that man. We had about 16,000 probably there. And it was like, I told my nephew, I said, watch this. Watch me get the crowd to start booing him. So we just start booing Mitchell every time. You know, I'm a Kings diehard.
So what you saying, Titus, that it wasn't loud enough in there?
Yeah, it's like, okay, look, you know, like Mike Brown let him go on some runs. He wouldn't call no timeouts. He had Sabonis on the bench, like it was in foul trouble. He had 0 fouls. I couldn't understand it. So I'm like, I seen Mitchell, you know, going off. So I'm like, man, look, I'm going to have to start booing. I got to get them to start booing Mitchell. We got to do something to slow the run down. The
okay.
crowd, you know?
I see you. Hey, you out there working, Titus. Titus out there working. I ain't mad at him.
Rookie of the year.
Hey, Titus out there working. Okay. So for those going to the Golden One Center tonight, be louder. Boo louder, cheer louder, do all of that stuff. Oh, man.
I think more fans should boo.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I'm not a booer. I'm not really a cheer. I just kind of go vibe. Like, I'm neither.
I'm a booer. I'm not the other stuff or whatever where it's like, all right, relax, bro. Like, this is a
so when you person. When you go, you're going to Raiders.
Yeah, Dolphins, Raiders Dolphins, yeah.
In Miami.
Yeah, I will be.
You'll boo the Raiders.
I'll boo Desmond Ridder, whoever. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's easy.
That's your job as a fan, I feel like.
Like,
you boo the opposing team.
You will actually be like, boo!
Yes, I'm going to hate. Yes.
All right.
Like, that's your job as a fan, I feel. You got to make it a little bit within means hostile a bit. Boo. You need to boo the opposing team's best player all the time.
Would you do that at, like, SmackDown? Like, Gunther walks out, would you boo?
I don't know. I didn't do that when we were at AEW.
Well, like, I don't think you knew who any of those people.
I'll go to the King Celtics games and I'll boo here.
I don't think you knew who any of those people at AEW. You'll boo the Kings at the Golden One Center if they're playing the Celtics.
This is part of being a fan.
I'm not mad at it. I don't have any like feelings towards it. I just don't boo. I don't cheer. But well, yeah, I kind of cheer, but I don't know.
You go like as media. Like, you don't even really go as fans anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I do react though when the games get tight. Like I'll react. I don't cheer in the where I stand. I never sit.
We need to lead the no cheering in the press box rule. We need to get that out of there.
That's so stupid.
It is.
It's so stupid.
Like come on. We're all here for a reason. Yeah, we're not going to react.
Like, no, it's like what you can't do is you can't look over at the Clippers, you can't look over at Law Murray and be like, you suck!
Exactly.
I told you, yeah, you can't do that, but if it's like, you know, De'Aaron Keegan just hits his 4-3, like, yeah, give a little fist pump, a little clap, whatever.
No one's going to think you're playing for the other side or something at this point.
Yeah, throw me out. Go ahead, throw me out because I cheered that play on. Marcus says, you never booed the Lakers when they came out. Nah, I'm not a booer. I don't know what to say. How many in the chat? Y'all boo. Like JT Lowe says, I only boo my coworkers. Well, I can get on board for that. I think people should like wait at the entrances when people come to work. If someone pisses you and you boo them as they walk in or they're doing a bad job. If someone at your work is doing a bad job and they walk in or they walk by, boo. I think we need to normalize that. Booing coworkers.
Was that an episode in The Office where someone got booed? Or am I thinking of something else?
No, it's when they went to the play. They went to Andy's
play. Yeah, that one, yeah.
And Michael booed the lead performer.
Yeah, and Daryl's like, that's Daryl's plumber or whatever.
And then Daryl starts booing Michael, and he goes, okay, I don't like it. Everything can be traced back to The Office.
Facts.
Everything. James Hamm, a big Office guy. He'll be with us coming up here. In just a couple of minutes as the Sacramento Kings will take on the Los Angeles Clippers. Tonight at the Golden One Center, the San Francisco 49ers will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay this weekend. Christian McCaffrey listed as questionable, but everyone believes and all signs are pointing to Christian McCaffrey making his season debut for the San Francisco 49ers this Sunday in Tampa Bay. We went over some of the Week 10 storylines and the fact that some of them aren't compelling. There's a good one coming up in Week 11, though, and it's the Ravens and the Steelers after the Ravens' victory last night in a thriller against the Cincinnati Bengals, 35-34. Lamar, by the way, is 10-1. That's a bizarre stat. Lamar Jackson is 10-1 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow was phenomenal yesterday, as was Lamar Jackson. 8 passing touchdowns, 0 interceptions between those two quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, 197 yards and 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, leading them to victory, setting up the matchup next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've talked about we're going to be at Sky River Casino on Monday. We mentioned
Not only are the insiders live, not only is D'Lo and Casey live, not only are we collecting canned food for the Elk Grove Food Bank, we're watching Sacramento Kings basketball. They're taking on the San Antonio Spurs. It's the second night of a back-to-back for Sacramento, as they will have played in Phoenix the night before. So that's their next stretch of games. We've got a lot of basketball to talk about over the next couple of days, because obviously we've got the Clippers tonight, the Suns on Sunday, and then we'll prepare on Monday, because obviously we got to prepare like we're playing, for the San Antonio Spurs. And the Spurs kind of lingering around 500. Victor Wembanyama didn't get off to that white-hot start that I kind of thought he was going to. The Los Angeles Clippers lingering around 500. Clearly the Suns are the outlier. They are not. They are the top of the conference, one of the top teams in the league. There's only a handful of teams right now that are absolutely standing out, and Phoenix is one of them. Phoenix is one of the standout teams in the league at 7-1, along with Oklahoma City, along with the Golden State Warriors, the 9-0 Cleveland Cavaliers, the 7-2 Boston Celtics.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.